This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. My dear brothers and sisters, I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving me this opportunity to spend time with you today. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He makes our time together, time of mercy and barakah, beneficial knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts from us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as He gathered us here today, to gather us again in the company of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannatul Firdaus. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, we are surrounded by problems. We are surrounded by calamities. In our personal lives, in our communities, in our societies. The Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is experiencing a difficult time. And the questions that people ask are, where is the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When is the change going to come? What are our leaders doing? What are our scholars doing? But I want to share with you today a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to show us that that change that we seek, the change that we would like to see in this ummah, that it has to start with you and me. It has to start with us. We cannot wait for our scholars to change us, but rather we must turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that each and every one of us as an individual can change. And if I change, perhaps my family will change. Perhaps my colleagues in class will change, or in the staff room. Perhaps my broader community might change. And if everyone is committed to changing, then perhaps we will see the change. Perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change our situation. What is this hadith? It is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in which he tells us that there was a man before you, a man from the nations before you, and this man had killed 99 people. Subhanallah. 99 souls he had taken. I want you to imagine that this person had killed 99 men, women and children. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, nafsan, it's a general term. He killed all of these people. And then one day, he felt remorse. He felt guilty. Which means means that before he felt absolutely nothing. He killed these people with impunity. He didn't care. He didn't feel anything when he did it. And so sometimes we are like that. We disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we feel absolutely nothing. We miss Fajr in the morning and we wake up at 7:30 when the sun has risen and we feel no regret and no remorse. We cheat other Muslims. We steal. We can't lower our gaze. And we feel absolutely nothing. And so it was with this man that he had killed 99 people and he felt nothing. There was no remorse, there was no sorrow, there was no conscience. He didn't think about this, he wasn't plagued by this. He wouldn't wake up at night in a cold sweat thinking, SubhanAllah, I have killed so many people. It did not bother him. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He makes our sins bother us. May they turn us back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May we wake up now and realize at this moment that we have to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so it was with this man. After killing 99 people, he said that I want to change. I want to be different. So he went out looking for how he could make that change happen. He wanted to repent. He wanted to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive him. So he asked the people, who is the most knowledgeable person in this community? And everyone pointed to a monk, a righteous and pious person, a person who was engaged in ibadah. And he went to this person and he said, هل لي من توبة? Is there tawbah for me? Will Allah forgive me? Because I've killed 99 people. Do you think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might forgive me? When we look at the pious amongst us and the righteous, we feel that that righteousness and that piety has been motivated by knowledge, has been motivated by a deep understanding of the religion. But we must be careful. Because when this man asked the monk, will Allah forgive me? The monk said no. This is a righteous, pious person. A person who is meant and is supposed. And we assume that this person knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows His maghfirah, His forgiveness. He knows His rahmah and His mercy. But yet this person, despite his piety, despite his righteousness, what do we find? We find that he answered in the negative. Allah will never forgive you. How could Allah forgive you? You've killed 99 people. If you told me that you had committed zina, perhaps Allah might have forgiven you. If you told me that you used to be a thief and a highway robber, perhaps. But you have committed one of the worst sins. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Ma'idah, that if someone kills one innocent person, it is as if that person has killed the entire, not rather creation, but humanity. But you've killed 99 people. No, there's no tawbah for you. And so here we see an example, my dear brothers and sisters, that our piety has to be motivated by knowledge. Our piety, our righteousness, our commitment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be based on ignorance, because we do not want to be like the Christians. Just yesterday, the Christians celebrated the birthday of Jesus, or Isa alayhi salam. And they know, and we know, that Isa alayhi salam was not born on the 25th of December. So they have created an entire festival. They have created entire rituals in ignorance, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down no knowledge and no evidence for. But they have created it anyway. And so you and I, we must be careful that when we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, It is done with knowledge. It is done in a manner which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not the way that we want it, or the way that we have inherited it from our parents. But you and I, we will not be questioned about our grandfathers and grandmothers. We will not be questioned about our culture. We will be questioned about our knowledge, what we have of knowledge of this religion, and how we have practiced it. And so we must commit ourselves to learning the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, striving to understand it, and to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the manner which has been prescribed by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let me stop here and talk about another beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Three men came to the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, what does he do in private? What does he do in his home? So they were told that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does that and he does this when he is not in the masjid and when he is not with his companions. So when the men heard what the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to say, the first man said, as for myself, I will pray the entire night. I will spend the entire night in Allah's worship, in salah, in tahajjud, in qiyamul layl. And I will not sleep. I won't sleep at all. The second man, he said, as for myself, I will fast continuously. I will not break my fast. La uftiru. I will not break my fast. I'll fast and fast and fast every day. And the third man says, that لا أتزوج النساء, that I will not marry. I will not marry women. Look at these three men. If you look at the intention, wallahi, it is a beautiful intention. Are they engaging in gambling, in fornication, in stealing? No. They are engaging and they want to engage in the worship of Allah, in ibadah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes back. He comes home. And his wives tell him about these men and their questions and what they were told and what they said. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became angry. And we know that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would only become angry when the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the limits of Allah were being violated. So what did he do? He left his apartment. He came to the minbar. He praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, مَا بَالُ أَقْوَامٍ يَقُولُونَ كَذَا وَكَذَا. What is wrong with these people who say this and that? And he repeated what these three men had to say. Look at the adab of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He doesn't mention them by name, even though he could. And so we learn an important lesson here, that we do not expose the faults of our brothers and sisters, especially in public. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not pleased with what they said. He said that I am the most pious and the most righteous of all of you. There is no one in this ummah that has more taqwa and more khashya of Allah than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he made it very clear to them on that day. No one is more pious than me. No one is more righteous than me. But I sleep and I pray. And I fast, and I break my fast, and I marry women. فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. So whoever turns his back on my sunnah is not from me. Piety, righteousness, must be defined as it was defined by the actions and the statements of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not what we feel is piety, or what we feel is righteousness. This monk, this man asked him, will Allah forgive me? And he said, no. And then this man took out his sword and he killed the monk as well. And now he has killed 100 people. Perhaps out of anger, perhaps out of frustration. But he killed the monk. Now he has killed 100 people. But still, he is plagued by the weight of his sins. He is plagued by the gravity of what he has done. And even though he has just killed another person, after wanting to repent, he still wants to repent. What do we learn here? that we might commit a sin. We might ask Allah to forgive us. We might turn to Allah sincerely. But that does not guarantee that we won't fall into the sin again. He says to the people again, who is the most knowledgeable person in this community? Who knows? Who can I ask? And so it must be with me and you. When we have questions about the religion, we must go to the most knowledgeable, the most righteous people in our community. We should not go to sheikhjujil.com. I'm sure you are all familiar with this sheikh. He's a great sheikh. We don't know where he studied. I think he studied in America. But sheikhjujil.com has no piety. He has no taqwa. He might give us information, but he does not give us information which he has taken from his teachers, and it goes back to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is not knowledge that he or those people that have built this website, that they practice. And so it must be taken from the most knowledgeable and the most righteous of those ulama, those teachers in our community. He said, who is the most knowledgeable in this community? And then they directed him to a scholar, an alim Rabbani, someone who has knowledge of the book of Allah, someone who is connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only because of his title, but also because his knowledge causes him to act upon it. May Allah make us of those people, Allah. So he goes to the alim and he says, Halli min tawbah. Is there repentance for me? Will Allah forgive me? And the alim says, yes. What will prevent you and what will stop you from the mercy and the forgiveness and the tawbah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Now those are the words of an alim. Those are the words of someone who knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and who knows the religion. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Say, O Muhammad, to my slaves who have wronged themselves and have transgressed the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, say to them, لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Do not despair of the mercy of Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Allah forgives all sins. Murder? Yes. Fornication? Stealing? Fraud? Yes. And the list goes on. Allah will even forgive the person who has committed shirk, who has associated partners with Allah. If that person turns back to Allah sincerely, Allah will forgive even that. So he said, but there is a condition. If you want to change your situation, if we want to change our lives, if we want to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we want to become better Muslims as individuals, we want to see a better society, some sort of physical change needs to take place. Not a dream. Not merely whims and fancies or hopes and aspirations. No, you actually have to do something. If you are worried about the state of your salah and the fact that you are not in this masjid 5 times a day, it is not going to happen by us laying on our beds and saying, subhanallah, I wish I could go to the masjid 5 times a day. I wish I could be a better person. I wish I wasn't so, pessimistic and so sinful. So he told this man, I can see that you are sincere. And there's nothing that will prevent you from the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what you must do is that you must leave this village. You must leave this town. You cannot stay here. Why? Because the people of this village are qawm su'in, a people of evil, a people of transgressing. And as long as you remain in this community, you will be pulled back into that. When I first graduated, I went back to Cape Town, South Africa, my hometown. And my cousin was running a drug rehabilitation center. And he said to me, Tariq, can you come and help me with these boys and with these men? Can you spend time with them, reminding them, teaching them the deen? Because most of them were Muslims. May Allah protect our youth. Most of them were Muslims. So I would go and I would speak to them. And wallahi, this hadith was one of those ahadith that I shared with them. It is not enough that you stay away from drugs or from sins in general, but that you must stay away from everything that reminds you of that life. Everything that calls you back to it. Because imagine these boys, they go back to their communities. They have been clean for 2 months. They have not touched drugs. But then they find their old friends sitting on the streets. And their friends say to them, why don't you come and smoke with us? Why don't you come and use with us? It's okay. Even if you use once, you'll be okay. You won't relapse. And how difficult, wallahi, it is so difficult. I have seen this for 2 years working there. How difficult it is for those boys and those men to stay away, to not relapse and become drug addicts again. The advice that this alim gives this person, this murderer, and tells him, you have to leave this place. Now that, what does it mean for us? Does it mean that we must leave Malaysia? We must leave South Africa? It means that the first, that you must part company with everyone that takes you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When I first started practicing, I finished high school and I started going to the masjid and growing my beard. Oh, albeit that, you know, just a few hairs over here and over there. And I would walk to the masjid and my friends would call to me and they would say, hey, where are you going? I would say, I'm going to the masjid. And they would say, are you pious now? Are you righteous? Like, do you think, and this hurt me the most. They said, do you think you are better than us now? Do you think that you are better than us? And wallahi, that's not easy. Because these are my childhood friends. And so it was with my family as well. My relatives would say, do you know how ugly your beard looks? Why do you wear thawb every day? Why do you go to the masjid? I would fast on Mondays and Thursdays and they would say to me, you're getting very thin, you're looking scrawny. And there was no support. How can you be amongst people? I'm not talking about becoming extreme in the religion. No. I'm talking about doing the bare minimum. Praying 5 times a day. Wallahi, we are living at a time where to pray 5 times a day. Ya Allah, that's a wali. He is from the awliya of Allah because he prays 5 times a day. May Allah guide us and our communities to see that if we only take hold of what Allah has made compulsory, we will be successful. What does Allah say in the Hadith al-Qudsi? وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا افْتَرَدْتُهُ عَلَيْهِ. That my slave does not come closer to me by something more beloved to me than what I have made compulsory upon that slave, to pray 5 times a day. Allah, it is more beloved. Wallahi, I swear by Allah, based on this hadith, that it is more beloved to Allah that you perform your salah 5 times a day, that you perform qiyamul layl, and sometimes you miss your fajr salah, which has happened to many people. They spend the night in qiyamul layl, they fall asleep before the adhan of fajr, and they miss fajr. It would have been more beloved to Allah if you had woken up for fajr and prayed it on time in jama'ah than for you to have spent the entire night in tahajjud. What do we call this? We call this priorities. Starting with what is more beloved to Allah and then progressing and doing more. May Allah grant us tawfiq, inshaAllah. You have to leave this place and you have to go to another town where the people are righteous, where the people do good deeds. And if you go there, inshaAllah, you will become a better person. Your tawbah will be accepted. And you will change your life. But wallahi, you will not be able to change your life if you remain where you are, whether it is mentally or physically. You will not be able to change anything in your life If you continue to want to do the same thing in the same way, we must be willing to make a change. He didn't say, but this is my town. I have friends and family here. I have a business here. How do you expect me to just leave? No. If you are sincere, may Allah grant us sincerity. But if we are sincere, we will be willing to make any change so that we become better, that we become better Muslims, that we, our communities become better. It has to start with a true intention, with firm resolve. And so the man said that, yes, I will do this. And he set out on a journey towards that other town. On the way, he passes away and he dies. Subhanallah. He didn't reach his destination. He didn't get to where he wanted to be. And so, two groups of angels descend. Angels of mercy and angels of punishment and adab. And they argue between each other, who is meant to take the soul of this man? Technically, has he reached the town? No. Has he made tawbah? Has he started to do acts of ibadah? No, he hasn't. So they argued. And then Allah sent down an angel in the form of a man to act as an arbitrator and a judge between these two groups of angels. And Allah instructed this angel to tell them that they should measure which town he is closest to. If he is closest to the town of the criminals and the mujrimun, then the angels of adab should take his soul. And if he is closer to the town of the righteous, then the angels of mercy should take his soul. And so they measured. But this is the most beautiful part of the hadith for me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused the town that he was going to come closer. And the town that he was running away from to move away. So that when the angels measured, he was closer to the town that he was going to. And so the angels of mercy took his soul. رَجُلٌ مَا عَمِلَ خَيْرًا قَطُّ. A man who never did any good whatsoever, except that he had the intention, the firm resolve to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Did he pray? No. Did he fast? No. Did he perform Hajj and Umrah and give charity? He did none of these things. But Allah granted him a karama, this beautiful miracle, even though he had not yet reached his destination. What will Allah give you and me if we actually reach our destination? What will He grant us in our lives, in this dunya and in the akhirah, if we make that intention and we actually get to act upon it? Oh Allah, I would love to pray 5 times a day. I have neglected my salah for years. Oh Allah, take me back to my salah. Grant me to be in the masjid 5 times a day. To pray tahajjud, to pray my sunnah. Imagine you actually started coming to the masjid. If that's your sincere intention, and look at what Allah grants this man because of his sincere resolve and intention. But imagine what Allah will then give you if you started to act upon that intention. So many things greater than that. Wallahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change our situation. But it cannot be through whining and complaining. Oh, the situation is bad. This is happening to the Muslims here and there. But when we come to the masjid in the morning, to this masjid, or any masjid in the world, we have 5 people praying here. Maybe 2 softs if we are fortunate on that day. And that is the reality of the ummah. We must stop complaining, my dear brothers and sisters. We must stop whining about our situation. Let us today, inshallah, make that intention, that firm, have that firm resolve that we will be better and that we will actually act upon that intention. You will see me here in the masjid for Asr. Say that to yourself. You will see me here for Maghrib and for Isha. You will see me staying away from what Allah has made haram and prohibited. You will see me becoming a better person in my akhlaq. I will change myself. and I will invite others to change as well. That is where we need to be. I look at all of your faces and I see that you are from so many different countries. And you know that the situation in your countries is as I have described. Make that intention that you will be, or make dua rather I should say, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes you the cause of change in your country, whether it be Malaysia or South Africa or any of the countries that you come from. Let us start with ourselves, like this man decided that he was going to change. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him something amazing, even though he had not done much. But we all have the potential. You are professors and students here. You are teachers. You all have the potential to do so much more. And we only have to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and beg Him and ask Him that He makes us realize that potential. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us beneficial knowledge, righteous actions, changes our personalities for the better, our character. And so we can be instruments of the change that we would like to see in this ummah and in this world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us together under His shade on the day of Qiyamah, on a day in which there will be no shade but His. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Azim, wa nafa'ani wa iyaakum bima fihi min al-ayati wa dhikri al-hakim. Aqulu ma tasma'un wa astaghfirullaha li wa lakum wa lisa'iri al-muslimin min kulli dhanbin fastaghfiruhu innahu huwal ghafurur rahim. الحمد لله حمدا لا ينفد أفضل ما ينبغي أن يحمد وصلى الله وسلم على أفضل المصطفين محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تعبد. My dear brothers and sisters, as we know, the Muslims in East Malaysia have suffered through a devastating flood. The Muslims in Sri Lanka, the Muslims in Syria, the Muslims in Egypt and in Iraq, Afghanistan, Somalia, and wallahi, if I was to continue, we would probably mention every single country where the Muslims have a population. Just last night, a masjid in Sweden was petrol bombed. A few days ago, there was an anti-Islam rally in Germany. And this is what we are facing. This is the reality. Wars, famine, floods. But wallahi, these are tests from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are tests from Allah to see who of us is truthful and who is amongst the liars. May Allah make us of the truthful. May He make us of the sabireen. May He grant us patience and resolve and forbearance and perseverance. Because it is so easy to give up when everything has surrounded you, where you feel overwhelmed. I can't do this anymore, we say. But wallahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, after telling us the different ways in which He will test us, and that we will test us, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, give glad tidings to those who are going to be patient. Why? Because the victory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come. Musa alayhi salam, he's there at the sea, and the army of Fir'aun is behind him, and the people behind him are saying, they are panicking. They feel that they will be massacred. What does he say? Allah is with me. My Lord is with me. He will guide me. And then Allah commands him to hit the ocean and it opens. Do you feel that you are in the situation of Musa and Banu Israel? That you, our situation, is it not the same? Are we not behind us? Do we not have all of these problems? Do we not have our enemies? Do we not have natural disasters? Do we not have personal problems? And they are all behind us, causing us to become, you know, worried and to panic. But where is that thiqa billah? Where is that reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the trust? Because wallahi, if you are sincere, Allah will open up the way for you and you will escape from all of these problems, from all of these difficulties in your life. Turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say that Allah is with you and He will guide you. Turn to Allah and ask Allah to guide you. And we will be guided inshaAllah. The victory, wallahi, I promise you, is near. We just have to be certain and have certainty. And we have to trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But look at Musa alayhi salam. There was no disobedience. There was no sinning. There was no turning away from Allah. But rather there was the turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is when the victory came. And if we do the same, Allah will save us like He saved Ibrahim and Yunus and Musa and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the reality of this life. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this day of Jumu'ah that He brings us back to Him, that He places in our hearts certainty and reliance and tawakkul and yaqeen, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us the way to solve these problems. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant that the Muslims that are suffering in any part of the world, may Allah relieve their suffering. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them victory over their enemies and our enemies. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala feed their hungry. May He cure their sick. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them from every calamity and every difficulty. Remember that on this day of Jumu'ah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged us to increase the salawat upon him. And the best salawat is to say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammadin. كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم عز الإسلام وانصر المسلمين. اللهم عز الإسلام وانصر المسلمين. اللهم عز الإسلام وانصر المسلمين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى. Oh Allah, grant us the best of this life and the year after. Grant us beneficial knowledge and righteous actions. Grant us taqwa, yaqeen, certainty. Grant us all of these amazing qualities, the qualities of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, show us where the truth is and give us and provide for us the way to it, and show us what falsehood is and protect us from it. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Azim wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bima fihi min al-ayati wa dhikri al-hakim. Aqulu ma tasma'un wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa lisa'iril muslimina min kulli dhanbin fastaghfiruhu innahu huwal ghafurur rahim.